thank you, Lord. I always look forward to this beginning of the year. The ways of God are so amazing. But obedience always lays in such a powerful foundation for whatever God wants to do with us. And through the connection of faith, we are able to walk side by side with the will of God into the whole year. And that is the power of faith. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me come. I want to hear this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read this scripture to you in Numbers chapter 14. Before we move deeper tonight in prayer. Numbers 14, I'll just read one verse. Verse 28. Say, God was speaking to Moses, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now, this particular statement was not a positive response to the children of Israel, but is a principle that even Jesus applied in a positive way in his life. What caused this word from the Lord was that the children of Israel, they are under a covenant, and this covenant was made through a sacrifice between God and Abraham. And God promised, spoke out of his own mouth. With this covenant, he says to Abraham, I will give you this land of Canaan that your feet is on. He promised him, and he made the covenant. Let me show you something real quick, since that is coming to me, about this, why this God made this statement. About what we speak concerning our promises, what we say concerning covenant. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's quickly look at Hebrews. I wasn't going to go there, but it's important for you to see it. We'll come back to that. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just read really quickly from verse 12. That you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience, or perseverance inherit the promises. This scripture makes it clear that every promise of God has two major conditions for it to, for us to walk in the inheritance of it. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Now, look at what it says. So you will understand that word more in Numbers. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily or truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of the whole strife, the end of the matter. When covenants are made, it's over. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the seeds of promise, the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, the irrevisable nature of his word, confirmed it with a covenant, an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You can read on and see even more confirmation. But this is what he says. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God made a promise to Abraham, and when you make a promise or when you make a covenant, you have to make a covenant with a greater person. And he's making a promise with Abraham, but he's saying here that because God could not make it with anybody, he made it with himself. So God put his life into his word, and his life became his word, so that it can never be changed. So in the beginning was God, and the word, and the word was God. So God and his word are one. And so he made a covenant with Abraham and said, I will bless you, I will multiply you. The word that has gone out of my mouth, Sam says, I cannot alter, neither can my covenant be broken, because it is the life of God. The covenant that God made with Abraham, for Abraham, was just with animals. But when he made it with Jesus, he made it with his own blood, his own life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So God is saying to them in the Old Testament, if you read further what I did not read, he says, how much more we, the kind of covenant we have, the very life of God's own Son. So when he promised them the land and promised Abraham the blessing, when the generation came, the heirs, the seed, the heirs came, they received this word passed down from Jacob, from Isaac to Jacob, and down to through Joseph to Moses. And Moses gave them a clear, said, we, you are the people. This is what God is doing. He's going to take you to that land. He's going to give you this land with milk and honey. This is that, those people. That the covenant God made with Abraham will be manifested. If you read in Numbers, when God was talking about the rebellion of the children of Israel, it's unbelievable. So here, in Numbers 14:28, there were 10 spies, 12, that were sent to spy the land. And when they saw the land, they saw the promise, they looked at it, and they also saw the problems in the land. So when they came back, they brought an evil report, 10 of them. What was an evil report? A voice of unbelief. They reported, they were not looking at the covenant, they were not looking at God, they were just looking at the problem. And they came and confessed the problem rather than the covenant. God knows we have problems. God knows we have need.
God knows we have expectation, but God cannot do anything if we're not in agreement with Him in our words. Anytime our words contradict what He's saying, we are fighting Him, even though we are His children. So, when they came and gave this report, even Moses, Aaron, everybody, it caused rebellion in the camp, and they wanted to stone Moses, and Moses and Aaron started crying. They fell on their faces. It was that bad. Then they ran to God and started crying before the Lord. And the glory of the Lord came, and God started speaking to them. But still, before they ran to God, two people stood up to pacify God. And it was Joshua and Caleb. They spoke through the voice of covenant. They spoke and they told the people, you see it in the rest, the scriptures before them, that if God has promised us this, then these people are bread for us. If God has made this a promise, if God has delighted to give us this land, then God will give it to us. My brothers and sisters, these two people saw the same giants. They saw the same land. And the Bible says, God says, they had a different spirit. We can be Christians, but with our faith, we might have a different spirit. These are all believers. Now listen to this. This, the reason the Lord is dealing with us from October, but this year even stronger, God wants to make sure every one of us walk in our promises. He wants to see us delivered from the past. He wants to see us walk in the riches of our inheritance. And He wants to drill in us. No matter what we see in the natural, we should never confess anything negative or what the world says. We can never agree with what is not God's word. That's what we're going to find out this year with Prosper. No matter what you see in the natural, if you do not confess it, no matter what your circumstance is, if you are always speaking the word of God, that's what you produce. Look at what it said here. Numbers 14, 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall I. Some other scriptures in Proverbs says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. James chapter 3 says, the tongue is like a governor of a ship. It's like the bridle of a horse. It can turn the course of the whole nature of man. It can set hell on fire. God has designed that the tongue of man creates and destroys. It says through Jeremiah, you can tear down, you can build, you can plant, you can do things. Why? Through the power of words. Through the power of words. Why are words, especially God's word, very important? And why the words that produce from our mouth very important? They never go without producing their fruits. Eat the fruits of our lips. So here, what happened? The children of Israel rose up and started saying, we cannot enter that land. We have seen it. We have seen it, but there are giants in the land and we can never have it. And they told Moses, we have to go back to Egypt. You brought us here to die. We should have died in Egypt. Can you imagine what they were saying under pressure? Under severe pressure. Does God not know there were giants in the land? Does God not know that these giants were more than Israel? Does God not know that it was a problem that would cause fear and cause difficulty for their minds? Is God not aware of the details of our conditions? But He has a principle. With our faith, we fight Him. So what is faith? Faith is, regardless of what you see, speak the word over. So when the people started speaking their emotions, speaking their flesh, speaking from the fear of the giants, speaking death, speaking they can never possess it, every one of them, look at it, every one of them received exactly what he spoke. They never entered the promise. They never possessed it. They died in the wilderness. Every one of them. The only two people that entered the land entered because of what he spoke. And the younger generations. As believers, our words are very powerful. And 2012, the greatest covenant you can make with your tongue is to watch it closer. Because we reap what we sow. Amen? Now, let's go to Galatians. Since we are on that area, before we go to Galatians, let's open to Mark 11. Most of you will memorize this before the third note in this year. You know it by heart without even reading it. Mark 11. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have God's kind of faith. For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatsoever what? He said. If you say, for example, why God was angry with that generation. I just read to you in Hebrews that God made that promise with his own blood, with his own self, that this promise I am giving to you is my word, and I'm God, and I cannot separate myself from what I have spoken. So there is nothing impossible to anybody that believes my words, because I have to perform. I have to watch it. So Jesus, when he came as the Son of God, he came as an example of how sons operate. This year is a year of the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. How do sons operate? How do they operate? Sons operate through the power of prayer of the Word of God. Jesus said, here is a mountain. Here is a problem. Here is a catastrophe. Here is a situation. Here is a weather. It's bad weather. Here is a dead person. Here is sickness. Here is lack of funds. Whatever it is, here it is a mountain. Jesus said, you can tell the mountain to move from where it is and move to another place. And another scripture says, he shall obey you. Now we all know we are human bodies. He was not saying that to human beings. He was saying that to people who have the likeness and the image of God. To sons and daughters. If he did not do it, that would be different. But he says, no of us can be able to believe to do it unless we have faith. God's kind of faith. So, it says, we shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, and if we don't doubt in our hearts, how do you know when doubt comes in? How do you know when you believe? Hebrews said, Abraham received his promise after he patiently waited. When did Abraham receive the promise? I've shared it over and over in his heart, 24 years ago. He did not waver in his heart. He was struggling in his mind, but
He believed everything God said. He struggled about Eliezer, struggled about Ishmael. All those were struggles in the mind. But Abraham each time believed. The Bible says in Romans 4, he did not waver in his heart. He kept on believing. He kept on. If you read it in Hebrews, you think he just got it yesterday. He waited and 2 days, 3 months. No. It was when his faith came to maturity. He's been tested and tried. 24 years was when he started seeing the fruit of his faith. That's why the Bible says the father of faith, because he did not change. He did not confess anything opposite of what God said, even when he was struggling in his mind. He kept eventually calling things that be not as to be. As when do the mountains move? As long as you don't change your confession. As long as you don't change your position. Whatever time it takes that mountain to move, if you do not change, God will honor the confession. It's not your word, it is God's word. And God says, my word and I are one. Everything that my word has spoken must obey. So when you speak on my behalf and say, a mountain shall move, the only reason that mountain will move is that your heart did not change to confess another thing to this about what you are saying. So the test of mature faith is perseverance, it's patience. Then this is the good news. After God has tested you, tested your faith, you wait, there comes a time when your faith is so mature. You can speak it and it happens instantly. Instantly. You receive results. But before you get to that place, your faith has to mature. And the maturity of faith is the times you believe through your wilderness. Amen? So here, he further said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Let me tell you quickly tonight why these 7 days is so important that we can be here as much as we can. Because you never know when God will drop a rhema in your spirit that will change you forever. There is a difference. If you study the whole Bible very well, you will see that anytime the God use the word believe, every other miracle for you, signs for you, wonders for you. What is belief? Why is this word belief constantly in the Bible? Belief is faith and patience mixed together. Or faith and obedience mixed together. It's not just faith, but obedience and faith. Or patience. And faith, they will always produce in the Bible. No matter how long it takes. Let me describe it to you. Because we're about to pray something very powerful, very powerful. You see, I go back to prayer center those days. We'll pray some things. And when we're praying, we're excited. We're touching it, we're feeling it, we're saying, it just happened. And then we'll start going through the years. All of a sudden, God starts leading us through those Red Sea. We get to the Red Sea and say, oh, let's go back. Are you sure God told us to go here? And we forget how it God led us to the Red Sea. All we needed to do, God led us to the Red Sea. What did he tell Moses? And see what happens. But every time the children of Israel faces an obstacle, they forget how God led them up to that point. They always say, go back to Egypt. That's not faith. That's flesh. Unbelief. So what is belief? You see, always in the Bible, Jesus says, because of their faith, they could not kill their collective guy. What is belief? What is God calling us in 2012? To, as sons, how do sons think? Belief is faith and patience, or faith and work. How? Let me explain to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things we don't see. Amen? So faith is, for example, I think all of us agree, we've crossed to this level at least. We all sitting in this room, we're here because we have faith that God is with us. Amen? We don't see him, but we know God is with us. And we're reading this, what he can do. We read about his power, we read about his presence. God is inside of you today, it's Emmanuel. We don't see him, we don't feel him, but we have faith that he is with us. Amen? But we don't see him. So that's faith. In a substance, something that is real and tangible, is here right now. It's in this place. That's faith. God is here. But faith without obedience, without works, is dead. There is no belief. So the belief is what brings the signs and wonders. So the children of Israel, many times they have faith, but they don't mix it with action. They don't mix it with obedience. And even when they obey or take the first or the second step, when they now come to the place where the land is, immediately fear comes. Immediately circumstance challenge our situation. So, when I first came to America, I was in a Bible college, and different people are trained in different ways. A generation was raised up, Kenneth Hagin and a few people that they were walking in the word of faith. That's one revelation that we see, and they stayed with it. And it trained so many people. And then there was a man by the name of Noble Hayes that was at the Bible college. These people, they didn't go as far as understand what it means to be an heir, a son, but they understand the power of confession and faith. And that's all they knew, and they taught it until people started experiencing it. And just to show you, Noble, all through the time, this is all he would say, just, if you're sick, keep saying, I am well, I am well. If you have cancer, say, I have no cancer. I'm cancer free. That's what he would take people, he walk them around, walk them up, and he would tell them to go to their houses and confess. That is a training gift. That's the revelation that we see. He believed it and he did. And many people, when they come to his seminar at the meeting, they would take that word, take his tape, and they will go home and they will keep confessing. That's the level of understanding where they are. But people who believe it comes back the next, some come back 10 years later. You have here and say the cancer. Man. Some will come and say, my child started walking. It took that long because it took that long for them to come in agreement with what their purpose and their beliefs. And it activated God's power. But sons, revelation of sonship is who you are. And there's an anointing upon you to manifest the things that God is telling us to do. So, let me tell you why, after we read this, I talked about the nature of it, the lifestyle of a son, because that's what we live in 2012. Your mountains will not overwhelm you. You will overwhelm your mountains. No matter how you feel, you will not go by your feeling. No matter what you see, I am the same way. We are all flesh and blood. So I'm speaking to myself too, because that's what God is saying we should do. That's why these 7 days, you should program your mind to change to a stubborn faith confession as a son. Until you get to the point, you don't need to confess anymore. You say it, you don't even say any word until you see it happen, you don't change your mind. But until you are able to say it and you don't even change your mind, you still have to learn to keep saying the same thing until you get used to it. In other words, somebody comes and say, you believe in God, now, understand, don't believe something that is not a substance. Let God lead you. Let the word of God guide you. Don't be presumptuous. I'm talking about real faith. If God is leading you,
let's say sickness, whatever it is, or things that are fundamental, and you're believing God, and somebody say, after 2 days, after 10 days, you've not seen it. You just tell the person, you are healed. By his stripes I am healed. I might not see it, but I know if God said it, I believe it. I see the giants in the land, but the word says God has given us the land. It pleases God to hear faith come out of our mouths. Amen?
Amen. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, because that's our part of the scriptures of our team. Now, you see all these confessions we just said, it will, does not really move our lives with the impact that we want it without understanding Galatians chapter 4. Now, verse 1, I say, understand that this season, please, how many of you can hold your word? Look at, you have a Bible? This is the word of God. This is the word of God. If there's anything on the face of the earth, Satan is afraid of God. If you know what it is. So, I just read to you in Hebrews, God says, what you see here, I made a vow with my own son. So it can never fail. If you read further. So in Galatians chapter 4, God himself is saying to Paul as an oracle, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differing nothing from a slave or a servant, though he is Lord of all. He's a ruler. Then it talks about him being under school and tutors and all the things. And then verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent for his son. Amen? Then jump to verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into you. The same spirit of sonship. The same spirit that Jesus had. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit in the Old Testament. Now we have this very same spirit that made God say, you are my son. That very same spirit God has put in us. It's nothing different. A corn is a corn. Apple is apple. The very same spirit. See, now, because of that spirit, we can call God our Father. Or God, our Father God. That's an awesome promise. And it's made through the blood of his own son, unchangeable, immutable to the blood of his son. God has spoken that the moment we receive the Spirit, we can call ourselves the children of God. But this is what he's saying, as long as we are babies, our faith is still the faith of the child. We are still, in our thinking, in our confession, always, when we face an enemy, when we face a need, when we face a crisis, when we need God to do something, we are still saying, we can do it, because we are still a child. And God calls that the minds of the system. But he says, there comes a time when we become sons, when our faith has been matured. Now, it happened to Abraham when he was 24 years old. God says, now Abraham, you can now call yourself Abraham. And it wasn't words. You can now speak into manifestation what I've been telling you all about, and it will happen. And when Abraham started calling Sarah, when the faith became mature, he now can speak like a son. So God is saying, there is a place where we have been tested, we have gone through years, we've been going, but there comes a place where God says now, when you say to a mountain,
When you say to sickness, when you say to your finances, when you say to the weather, when you say to whatever it is,
if you can speak to mountains, you can speak to anything. Jesus spoke to weather, he spoke to anything as the Lord needs.
So he says that the place our faith is grown, is matured, we have no doubt we are God's sons. At that point, Mark 11 will become a reality. We can say.
And then we can patiently wait without changing our confession, regardless of 20 people, 10,000 people saying it's not going to happen. You are the place where you don't change your mind. Actually, the more people say it's not going to happen, your faith, like David, becomes more aggressive. Who is this God? Who is Goliath? He had faith in God. So 2012, the power of our victory is in our heart. But it cannot manifest victory until it's in God. And the victory cannot be altered if we do not alter our hearts. Amen?
Why does the Bible, Jesus says, when you pray,
because you have the power to make an enemy of God. Amen? He says, bless your enemies, don't curse them. Amen? Mm-hmm. Isn't it terrible?
Why? What is blessing?
And if somebody is not saved and they are giving from, say, Father, let this brother be saved.
Amen? Amen? Leave it to God how the person gets saved. Just pray, this person shall be saved. He shall be born again.
What happens? Saul was killing people. And when they prayed for him to get saved, he became saved. What has he done today? He changed the world.
So when you pray for an enemy to get saved, eventually the enemy becomes your brother. That's a blessing. Amen?
That's the power of songs. That's the power of souls.
Amen? Amen? That's where God is calling us. So, as sons, this week, we are laying the foundation for the rest of the year. So, how do we pray tonight? If you are beginning to pick up what I'm saying, your mind and your feelings are contrary to faith.
Your spirit, man. I went to the funeral home. Somebody was sitting there dead, but the person, the spirit is gone. God wants us to start connecting to that spirit man, that's faith, than the dead man. The dead man can be a president, he can be a scientist, he can be an astronomer. All those things ended up in their brain. They cannot do anything supernatural. It takes the spirit to do, and the spirit, when it confesses the word of God, it gives life.
The spirit takes the word of God, the letter, and turns it to God speaking. That's why, if you're sick,
you can be healed. But your sickness is temporal. As long as your spirit says by his stripes you're healed, it's not your word. God says by his stripes you're healed.
So when your spirit agrees with the word of God, it's God speaking into you.
That's why your medicine is healed.
So we transfer the promises of God from the Spirit and make it, God already said yes and amen to it. When we believe it, we translate it from the Spirit to the natural.
And that's what sons and daughters do. That's why creation is growing. Where are the children of God? Set things back to order with your mouth. What the devil has distorted. That's what 2012 will be challenging us to.
So here's our prayer point. If faith has risen in your heart, hopefully, Psalms chapter 2. Hallelujah.
My brothers and sisters, Romans chapter 2.
I want to let you know
that what I'm saying to you is not easy. If it's easy, people would have been walking on. Let me tell you why it's not easy. It's because it takes the grace of God. It takes prayer. It takes fasting sometimes. Without God's grace, without prayer, when those overwhelming situations, what are you going to do? When those situations are right at your door and they are almost happening, what are you going to do? Are you not going to change your confession? Are you going to change your mind? That's what it always be. That's why it's not easy. But one day, if you will let that circumstance, no matter the level it is, no matter where it is, and you're saying, God, the word I'm confessing, you made a covenant with it. And I'm standing to it. And I'm praising you for it. And I'm lifting my hands. It's a war. It's a fight of faith. You're fighting. Your body's saying this. You're fighting. They're about to kick you out of your house for not paying. And you're saying, God, you are my provider. Listen, it has to be substance. It's not empty. The moment you start seeing your first miracle, your second miracle, your third miracle, it's over. You will never be the same. But until you see it, you think it doesn't matter. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. The whole Psalms has to do with salvation. I might as well just read it from the beginning. It says, verse 1, just to show you what I just said about how you pray for the lost sometimes. It says, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. He that sits in heaven will what? Laugh. That's God's position with men's foolishness. I mean, it's not foolishness, it's wickedness. But how could men created by God think they would be true God's purpose? So, God, I pray, is leading us one day to get to that point. Paul got there. When the enemy was at the most furious point in Paul's life, Paul was praising the Lord and heaven. God wants us to come to the place where we can laugh at our enemies because they don't know what they're doing. I pray we get there. But here is what is happening. Let's say all these people are witches. Let's say these are powerful, wicked people raging to destroy the church, to do evil, to take over. They're imagining vengeance against God. They are trying to afflict you, do something wrong to you. They are doing all kinds of evil, trying to persecute you. Look at what the Lord said. Verse 7. I have declared a decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. You are my son. You have that spirit of God. This word will become yours. God is speaking. I am your father. And if I'm your father, he says, this day I have begotten you. So from the day we can say, or Galatians says, the day I have faith my choice. Then verse 8 says, ask of me and I shall give you what? The very healings. What are those healings? From verse 1 to verse 3 or 4. The very same people that are raging, that are consuming all this evil, God says, ask me, I will give them to you. How? Call them saved. Don't say they shall be saved. Call them what they are not. Call them what you expect them to be. And be patient. And watch how God makes it happen. Our job and the biggest problem I've always faced myself, I always try to figure out how he will do it. Maybe Sister Rachel was had a good testimony. Last minute I read, there was no money, we were praying and she was praying. When God provided, it did not come from America. Somebody called from Africa and paid her rent. Those things should encourage us. Because as long as our minds, our human minds are always looking for a connection to how God will help us. We are always trying to figure, maybe it's through my maid, Hagar. Maybe it's this. Maybe we have minds. I go through that. Sometimes I'm believing God for money. My mind is going, maybe it's going to be this person. You know, I'm not saying that I don't believe it in my heart, but my mind always forced me to try to look for where it can be possible. God says, if you believe, all things are possible. We do by the Spirit of God. And how the Spirit works it out is not our business. I have a cell phone. I don't wake up every day asking. I can call Africa, I can call everywhere. I believe the cell phone. I don't sit every day before I call Africa and say, how does this thing work? How did they put this thing together? Let me figure it out first before I can call Africa. The satellite, if I sleep today to imagine how the satellite and the cell phone works, God already has people take care of that. My job is, I know I can call Africa. Finish. That's what faith does. Faith believes and leaves the rest to God. So he says, I will give you the nations if you ask in faith. How he will do it, I don't know. I will restore possessions back to you because they are for children. How he will do it, I don't know. People build theology and how he's done it in the past. And they build prophecies how he do it in the past. But maybe the way God wants to do it now is different. He just says, believe. And the best way to believe is say it is in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So we are going to pray. When you have faith, your prayer doesn't take long. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Is there faith in the house tonight? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Is there power? Do you believe there is power in your confession? So, as we pray tonight, you can walk around, you can, later we'll call everybody together as we seal the time. But we want to pray by faith. Amen? When I was in the Catholic Church, sorry, I'm closing. I now realize a lot of the times, God answers, you know, the things in our hearts. But as we grow as God's children, God is saying, be like me. Speak. In the Catholic Church, people sometimes they are afraid. They say, if I speak up, the devil will hear. What is the devil hearing what? The devil, if he hears, he will obey what you are saying. Have you seen people you're praying, they say, don't let the devil hear? If the devil hears, he obeys. Mm-hmm. He bows to what you're saying. If he doesn't hear, that's why he's oppressing us.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, you understand what I'm saying? Amen. You're going to China. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Let's stand up tonight and pray. Amen! Hallelujah!
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 Amen.
Amen.
Tonight we're going to ask for souls.